Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners, to another week and another episode where I bring on individuals and we just talk about their lives, whatever that looks like to them. So I want to give a huge shout out to just all of my listeners that have continued to come back week after week. If you are new on this podcast, I just ask if you could like and follow and share. If this kind of touches you in any way, spread the word. And thank you again for just being here and listening to somebody else. I also want to remind you that my website is live. So if you want to go to rawthoughtspodcast.com, you can see all of my guests and their information on there, along with sending me a message. If you have any feedback or, you know, what your favorite podcast was or how it touched you, I absolutely recommend you to writing in. I do read those and I absolutely love them. They make my day and just kind of make me realize why I am continuing to do this. So with no further ado, today I have Rue on, and tell us about yourself, Rue.
Hello, my name is Zach Rue. I'm a PRCA bull rider, and I'm from my dad's military, and I really appreciate the military. Got to soak it all in.
You're good. Yeah. You're good.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
I will give you a shout out because you are actually one of the individuals that has messaged me on my Instagram and just said, hey, like, I want to come on and I want to, you know, talk about my story. And so this is your time, and it can be scary to come on here, but I appreciate you and being courageous in doing that.
Well, thank you. Well, at first, like, I thank my sponsors, Boise Basin Electric, Dad's Garage, and Tosh Creek Company. They've helped me keep me on the road down to hopefully someday get down to the NFR. That's our Super Bowl of the rodeos, 10 days, lots of money to be made. So it's pretty exciting. It's a big thing. It's in Las Vegas. So a lot of people come out, and I want to someday get down there and ride. And so it takes a lot of money, effort, and hard work. And so my start story was I was bored. I watched bull riding when I was growing up, and I was like, man, I just want to do that. And well, I met a guy named Don Horn out in Payette. His company's called Bulls R Us, and he asked if I ever wanted to ride bulls, and I was like, yeah, I want to ride some bulls. So I went out there, rode bulls, and he taught me how to. He's like my mentor, and he's the person I always call right after I ride and video, and he breaks everything down for me, which so it's so nice down, so nice he can, you know, break it down for me. And then I had an injury. I was rodeoing in the summertime, getting down the road, and I went down to Lehi, Utah, and one day I just felt like something bad might happen. But when you're a bull rider, you can't think that. You just gotta think positive, positive. So I got on the bull, and I was riding, and I got bucked off, lost my riding hand, lost it. So I went to go grab the tail of it so I could get my 8 seconds. So I grabbed that, and then when I went back down, he bucked me off, and I came down on my shoulder, dislocated it, tore my rotator cuff, and that really, like, we went back to the training team, and I told them, I said, just shove it back in so I can ride still. And they're like, well, we're trying our hardest, and they're yanking on it, and they're like, well, you're going to have to go to the hospital. So what it means if I have to go to the hospital is the PRCA is notified, so they're going to tell me, no, you got to get healed up. So I was really hoping that they could just pop it back in place so I could just keep on going down the road. I was going to go down to Prescott and ride in that rodeo, which is a old rodeo, but it's a good rodeo. You get a lot of money if you win it. And so I wanted to get down there trying to get rookie of the year, trying to get my rookie season under me. So it was awesome, but I couldn't make it. Then I stayed in the hospital for a day, just because I couldn't, because they popped it back in place, and no, I and my traveling partners weren't with me, so just my little dog was with me. So I was just like, and they're, the medicine that they gave me, I couldn't drive, so I had to stay there for a day, and I had to come back up to Boise because that's where my home is, and my son lives here too. So I was like, okay, so I came here, I came back, and the doctors, of course, gave me some medicine about, you know, some painkillers and stuff like that. And that was just like, I thought my life was done, that I lost everything, that's all I pretty much knew. That was, I was a bull rider, and we rode, you know, you just keep on going the next one, you tough it out. But it just, I got really addicted to those painkillers and drinking heavily, because that's was just the bad thing about everything. And I thought my life was ending. And then you just, one day, I just told myself, I got to stop this, because my son, he's my world. So one day I just figured it out. I just got to get through this. And so I went through some stuff, you know, counseling and rehab and stuff like that. So that's what really helped me out a lot. And my mentor, you know, he was on me about doing that stuff and asked me, why am I doing this? And just to saddle back up and get back on the road. So I, of course, did that, got back on the road. And that's when you really find yourself. You just start doing a lot of soul searching, and you figure out who you're, you know, who you're supposed to be with and what you're really about. And it just really is really comforting that I have that, you know, that I can find my own soul by myself, listening to music, podcasts, whatever, to just keep you up at night after your rodeo, is just to get to the next one. That's the whole goal, is just to keep on rolling and keep the wheels turning. So it, sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because you are, you might go on a losing streak and not get your 8 seconds, so you start getting down on yourself. But you have your brothers, your brotherhood with you, that are just always, you know, you're all right, time to get back up, saddle up, let's go to the next one, you know. So that's what, how I felt, and they were always there, you know, happy to see me. That was, you know, they're rodeoing with them and hanging out. And it's just, honestly, it's honestly like a big hangout session, and to prove who's the toughest man. That's how I feel sometimes, you know. Yeah. There's, you know, talking crap to each other, you know, cockiness running around in the back of the chutes. But it's just all, at the end of the day, we love each other and make sure we're okay and checking up on each other. And so.
Yeah, you're competing against them, but at the same time, they're all cheering for you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yes, that is very.
All there to support you as well.
Yes, and it's very nice that they're there to support me and, you know. But, and, you know, they love my son. They're just like his, they're their own. And it's really nice because, you know, my son gets to come back to the shoot with me. And, you know, it's just the little things that, you know, hang out with me. And when I'm on the road, I don't get to see him that much when I'm on the road. So it's nice to see him. And it's very nice to come to these local rodeos and see him, so you can see his dad rodeo. And eventually, I hope so, someday he wants to do the same thing. So.
And though you wanted to do that from a little kid, and you knew that person in Payette, what was that actually getting into it? I mean, learning all the techniques, like, this is something, getting on a bull is, you know, and I think we talk about it figuratively a lot in life. Like, you are getting on a bull that could kill you to hold on for 8 seconds. And 8 seconds is a long time when you're trying to hold on to something that's trying to buck you off. And is what, how many pounds are they?
1200 pounds to 2000 pounds.
Insane. Just thrashing you around. Like, what was it that you're like, I want to do that?
It's just that adrenaline rush you get when, it's just when you're getting down and you're hearing the crowd. I really, I love the crowd. I love it when they're getting down and they're saying my name loud. Cause you know, my dad always said, you know, you represent our name, so represent with us with pride. And I've always wanted to do that for him. And it's just when you get down in there and you're rapping, putting that last rap on, and you get up on your rope and you just shake your head, and that gate, that chute just opens. You're just thinking, this is crazy, but you know, you're just throwing what you can think, and you're trying to predict. It's just like, you know, everyone says bull riding's like dancing, and honestly it is. You're just trying to mimic him or try to go one step ahead of him, because just a split second you're off and you don't, you're like, oh, I'm off. So yeah. What do I, you know, and you're starting to run because now he's looking for you and he's chasing you. So you're trying to find the exit gate to get out. So, and you're just, it's really fun. I really enjoy it. I just love that adrenaline rush getting on one. And I've met a lot of cool people too, traveling down the road. A lot of interesting people in this world.
Yeah.
You meet and just chit chat with them, and that's how I love it, and just fun.
Yeah. With that injury and you saying that you had, you know, gotten addicted to the painkillers, and then you were drinking, and that was, you know, really that kind of low point of life. You then got yourself out of it. It sounds like you went to counseling, sounds like you went to all of those, you know, things, but what was it that, you know, besides waking up one day and saying, I need to change for my son, like, how did you make those choices? Who was it that you called? Like, how did you actually dig yourself out of that?
Probably my traveling partners. They're always calling me, but I would always ignore their calls and didn't really care what they were doing. And it really, you know, worried me. And Dawn one day said, hey, you need to come out here and we need to talk. And I was like, no, we're good. We need to talk. And he said, no, you need to get out here and talk. And he sat me down and we talked. And he said, you need to realize, you know, rodeo is not everything. You have more to life. You have a son to raise. And so I really took that to heart. And that's what I try to live my lifestyle by every day. Is, you know, every day is not granted, but you just have to live it to the fullest.
Yeah. Yeah. And how was that? I mean, what was it for you that helped you stop with the, you know, painkillers, stop with the alcohol, and really get your life turned around?
Probably that talk, because it was a really sensitive talk. It was pretty much like he beat me to the ground and then built me back up until I was the best. And it was the best talk.
Was it him that helped you get the counseling, or was it you that reached out to getting the counseling?
I did it myself. I had to do it as a person. I had to do it myself. If I was going to change, I was going to change for myself. I wasn't going to change for him because he gave me the talk. I was going to change for myself because that really, you know.
Yeah. And how long ago was this?
This was actually a couple months ago. It was in June.
Okay, so pretty recent.
Yeah, so it was pretty recent. So.
And how do you feel like you're doing now?
I feel I'm great. I want it, like I'm want to get back on, and I know my goals, and you know my goals are to get to the NFR.
Right.
And what has to happen is that you gotta, you know, stop drinking, doing all the drugs that comes with the rodeos, and it's true what they say is that rodeos have a lot of drugs. It is true. I hate to say it, but it's true, and the drinking, but the guys that are successful and who do this for their full-time job are the ones that are not messing around after the rodeo. They're the ones that are hitting the road, hitting the pavement, getting to the next one and focusing on the prize.
Right. And it definitely can be, you know, true within, obviously you're behind the chutes, with the drugs, like being engulfed in that atmosphere, how are you going to keep yourself clear-minded and not go down that temptation?
I just got to think about that NFR gold buckle. That's the main thing, is I want to wear that gold buckle. I want to be the one in Vegas for 10 days making some money. That's my goal, is to get to the run for it.
Yeah. Yeah. How often is it you're going to rodeos? Like, what does that schedule look like?
So our schedules are we have the PRCA sends us a text message and says the books are open for this, this, and this rodeo in this state. So you try to make a complete circuit a circuit. You try to make it a circle as easy as possible. So you try to get as much in a week as possible. So you're, when you're rodeoing, it's, you're trying to get as close as possible to every city or town. So you're just not trying, you're not wasting gas and stuff like that. It's just, you're trying to be money efficient, or you try to, I went with the theory is you try to hit all the big ones, hit the ones that pay the most, but those are the ones where all the big time guys go to. And so this year I'm going to go with the philosophy is like, let's try to stay closer and let's stay close to, you know, town to town to town. So it's easier for me and it's not hard on my body. But you're rodeoing, sorry about that, probably 3 times a week, and you're just pounding your body and just, you know, it's sometimes it's hard on your body.
Yeah.
And you just have to, you're not always 110%, and you just have to grind it out and just have that goal in your head. Lots and lots. It's very thrilling to go through it and live the life of what they say a rodeo guy does. All those songs that they write, they're true. You do some of the things and you try to relate to them, and you're like, this is true what they say. And you're just going down, trying to make the money. That's the whole goal.
Yeah. Is there times where you wish you were at home and closer to your son? And, you know, it sounds like money's a big thing where it's more stable. Or is this like, this is your dream, you're going for it, you're continuing, you're grinding to that?
Well, yeah, some days when you're in that, especially when you're in that losing streak, or when you're not, like I went up for my first rodeo where I got my pro card up in Pennsylvania. I got hung up the first night. The second night I didn't ride. So the third night I'm thinking, is this really worth this? Is it really worth the money? But then again, I rode. I got my 8 seconds. I got a check, got a buckle. And I was like, yep, it's worth it. This is what they're talking about. Because my buddies would tell me, you don't know. You don't understand how much this is when you're down and you get a buckle. When you want to quit, it just keeps on. You win and then it just drags on, and which is, it's nice, but I have a very awesome boss at Boise Basin Electric that, you know, says, hey, go do your thing. We'll always be here. So when I got hurt, he was the first person that said, come back to work. And so it was nice to have that income that I wasn't worried about. So it's kind of nice, like, I got to worry about it some days, but sometimes I don't worry about it. So,
yeah.
And then sometimes you're thinking, oh, down to my last $65. What am I going to do? Am I going to eat, or am I going to go get some money and put in for an entry fee? Well, the cowboy thinks I can eat later. So I'm just going to go put it on entry fee and see what I can do. And then that's when usually something crazy happens. You win. And then when you win, you're like, that was easy. Let's go get some lobster. So that's how our theory is. It's either if we win, we're going to get lobster, or you're going to get McDonald's. So yes. That's how you got it. When we're back at that shoot, what we're thinking,
right.
What do we want to eat after the rodeo? So,
right. What did it take to get your pro card?
So,
and what does that mean?
Okay. So the PRCA, the Professional Cowboy Association, you have to, first, you have to pay to get your permit. And your permit, you have to at least make $1,500. And so they have, you can go to Pennsylvania. Last January, I went to Pennsylvania because I was like, I want to get my card. So I went and grabbed my card. And so, like, it's just like incoming kids. You can either, like, if you're in college, you can ride on your permit and not get your pro card, and so you can still rodeo in the summertime if you're in college or stuff like that. But I went and got my pro card, and they asked me, do you want to take some of your winnings and pay for your pro card? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And it was very humbling, and I was very happy because I was very proud of myself. It was a proud moment for myself. I called my son. I was very happy to tell him, you know, his dad got a buckle, and I was just like, wow, I got one of these. I can hang out with all the other guys now. And so that was pretty cool. But my traveling partners never thought as me as, oh, he's just a rookie. So, you know, but they, you know, you have your harassment and all the rookie stuff, but that's just everything. And that was pretty fun, you know, messing with me. And, but that's how we roll back there. But so I got my pro card. And so now I can go to all the big rodeos and I can, so they'll take me over a kid who's, say, like, let's just for an example, the Eagle Rodeo. They'll take me over a kid. If they have enough bull riders, they'll take me over him. So I'll get advancement. So it's pretty nice. It's kind of have your advantages. So it's pretty nice to have that.
How many times is it that people don't have their pro cards?
It's usually pretty common. A lot of these kids are, you know, coming out of college, or just like a lot of kids that have been rodeoing their whole lives turn 18 and just pay their money and then they can rodeo, and you can get your pro or your permit when you turn 18. So a lot of these kids come out of when they turn 18 and just go get their card because they think they're the best. So
right. What is it? I mean, how many rodeos do you have to do to, like, what, I guess, what's the next step?
It can take as many much rodeos until you make that $1,500. Then they offer you your card. So my next step is probably just to be on my pro card, which I'll gladly be on my pro card. I don't plan on going. Some of these kids that are like 18 and stuff like that go up to the PBR, and I don't want to go to the PBR. I'd rather just, I like doing the whole rodeo thing and traveling to these small towns. So
I guess help me understand, like, the PBR or some of these other rodeos, the language behind it and what that means, like, to just have your permit versus having your pro card. Like, which ones you can ride in, which ones you can't. Like, how does that work,
okay,
I guess?
Okay. So, the PBR is just professional bull riding. It's just straight bull riding. The rodeos, you got your tie down, all your classic ranching
right
stuff. So, your permit is pretty much like, probably, you're just trying to get on your rookie. It's just like your rookie card. You're just your first year. And then that's all you're trying to do is just trying to earn much money. You're trying to prove that you're good enough to get your pro card. That's how I've pictured it, and that's how the guys have tried to tell me, is like, we're just trying to see if you're proven to get your card.
And if you, is it really up to you then to decide if you one day were like, I don't want to ride again, and then you just, your pro card goes away, or what happens?
So if I pay my pro card, I don't want to rodeo, I don't have to rodeo. That's the luxury thing about rodeoing is you just, you know, I want to go rodeo, so I'll just put in here. But like if you're in the PBR, it's pretty much you're set on a contract and you're just doing that.
You're traveling around, and that's all you're doing is bull riding.
Yep, that's all you're doing. So it's kind of nice to just be like, maybe I want to take a week off. Maybe I want to take 2 weeks. So you just don't put in, you know, you don't put in, and you just sit and wait. Or if you, you know, like I took a couple weeks off during the season when I was, and I spent it with my son and hung out and worked. Called my boss. I was like, hey, can I come work? And he's like, sure. We'll have you.
That's awesome. And how old is your son?
My son is 2.5 years old.
Okay. And does mom take care of him while you're on the road, or what's that dynamic?
Yeah, mom takes care of him, and I get him on the weekends, or we've scheduled a thing where if I'm rodeoing and it's during the week, I can grab him and he comes with me, and he loves it. He loves hanging out behind the chutes, and he talks to everyone. He's just like one of the boys. So it's kind of nice that everyone doesn't look like he's just a little kid, you know. He talks to them like he's talking to me. So it's like some of the stuff he says, it's just like, dang, okay. Yeah. I did not expect that one, but yeah. And you just sit there and laugh at him. But he knows, you know, he knows that, you know, what I do. He watches me. They actually have the Cowboy Channel. And so when I'm on the road, he gets to watch me on TV. So that's like his, you know, his mom lets him watch me on TV, which is awesome. It's, you know.
Yeah.
He gets to see his dad on TV, and he makes sure he tells everyone that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And being gone from him, I mean, and being able to see on TV, like, what do you wish to instill in your son?
I really want him to know, like, I want him to be a bull rider, pretty much. I want him to ride bulls or be in the rodeo scene or the cowboy lifestyle, because I really love that, cherish of the cowboy life. And it's just, everyone is there for each other. You know, if you need something, just give them a call or quick text, and they'll be right there. And that's the lifestyle I've lived, and I just love it.
Right, right. What else can you tell us about rodeoing or bull riding? Like, what else do you want us to know about this?
It's just a lot of, lots and lots of soul searching. You do a lot of that, and I really didn't think I was going to do a lot, but when you're traveling by yourself and with my dog, and you're thinking, man, did that really happen? And then you start thinking, okay, this is not that bad. Or you start thinking about life, how could it be better? And it's just really, I did a lot of soul searching, and you think about how things, when you've let, like when you leave home, what was that really the right action I took? What did I could have handled that a lot better. And you know, you want to reach out to that person and say, I'm sorry for what I did. And so you just, I think, and then you ask other people, how did I handle it this way? And you just start doing a lot of talking, and you start doing a lot of thinking. And I'm really grateful for that, to do a lot of thinking. And sometimes I overthink things, and then you overthink things, and then you start judging yourself on stuff, and you're like, no, I'm fine. So.
Yeah. How was that with, you know, has that changed since you've gone to counseling, or, you know, kind of your mindset within there? Because obviously the drinking and the painkillers can kind of numb some of that. And then now you've kind of had a research for yourself, and that's kind of a new process that have gone through.
To a point. Yeah. You gotta keep it real with yourself. You gotta be like, you know, like if I get hurt, let's just say next year I get hurt, I know how to handle it a lot better. I'm not going to go off the deep end and, you know, I go do drugs and get heavy and drinking, and it's just not the right thing to do. A lot of, you know, you're doing, you know, you're hurting your own self. You're hurting other people. I mean, my parents were disappointed in me. You know, they thought they raised me better than that, but I mean, my mentor was hurting, and you know, my boss came to me and talked to me, and he's like, this is not you. He's known me for 5 years, and so he knows the in and outs of me, so it just is not the same.
Yeah.
But now I know what to handle a lot better, and it does you good.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think that evolves into asking for help and being a man?
Being a cowboy, that's the last thing you want to do is ask someone for help, but you have to do it. I've had to accept that as a person. It was really hard to accept that, because you don't want to ask anyone for their opinion or ask for help. You just want to do it yourself, because you know, you don't want to be judged or anything, and it's just, you got to work hard. And just if you need help, just to reach out. It's all right to ask for help, and I've figured that out the hard way, but I'm glad I figured that out.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you have figured it out in early enough stage within, you know, what I'm going to call your bull riding career is you've experienced that. You've seen the negative aspects of getting hurt and, you know, getting addicted to those things, but knowing how to handle it next time where, you know, we're not perfect as humans, but all we can ask of ourselves is to learn from our mistakes, learn from our, you know, experiences, learn from how we've lived life. And, you know, one thing is just bringing you on and sharing and kind of asking a lot of these questions is it happens to a lot of people, cowboy or not, women, men, like there's just as humans, it happens to us. And just bringing you on and sharing your story hopefully can help maybe another cowboy say, oh, hey, this isn't maybe the right thing to handle it, or maybe I can handle it a little bit differently, or hey, he asked for help, you know, now I feel a little bit more comfortable asking for help.
Yeah, it was very hard to me to, you know, the reason why I wanted to be is to express this story because, you know, it could help anyone, honestly, you know, and it just sometimes it just is not, a lot of us don't want to ask for help in that situation. We just want to say we're fine, but we're not fine. We're hurting inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, depression is known in the rodeo world, and I experienced it when I got hurt. It's because that's, you know, you're not with everyone. You're not hanging out behind the chutes and hanging, you know, talking with everyone. You're back at home by yourself thinking, is this really what I wanted to do? No, but I have to be at home because you're on medical suspension, so you can't interrupt. And I even tried to interrupt when I was hurt. I was like, maybe something happened in the computer and glitched out and maybe I can get in. So one time I entered up, I almost got there. And then when I went to go enter, it said, sorry, you cannot enter. You're on medical suspension. And I was like, oh, dang it. I was so mad, but I wanted to, even though I was hurt and doctor said, no, you can't ride. We don't want you riding. I was still thinking, I'll be fine. I can ride. But yeah. You're thinking, but they won't let you. I tried.
How is that? I mean, how do you train? How do you train for bull riding?
Well, it's a lot of hours in the gym. It's crazy, but you start in the gym and you do yoga because it's all balance. And so you're in the gym, it's all in your hips. And then you're honestly, I was up when I was coming back, I was over at Don Horn's at Bulls R Us for a month. I lived there out for a while. I lived at his place because I was just riding bulls all day. Because that's all I wanted to get back on. And so when I got medically cleared, I was back on getting riding. So I have to ride with the brace now. So a lot of my traveling partners make fun of me, but hey, I tell them it's worth the brace. It's worth it. And they all laugh, but they know they've been, you know, one of my traveling partners just had hip surgery and he's 26 years old.
Wow.
So injuries are very high in our sport, but we just want to, it's just that adrenaline rush you get when you get on the back of one. And so you're just, you know, a lot of your workout is, you know, starting out on a barrel and you're just learning the basics of balance and getting on the barrel. And then how Don Horn has it is you start at the barrel. It's just like grade school. You start at kindergarten where that's the barrel. And then when he thinks you're doing really good on the barrel, he'll put you on something. And then once you advance through his bulls, which is nice because then he starts to flank them. And then so now you're starting to get real action. And so it's really nice that you're not just hopping on one and just saying, all right. Good luck and let's do this. And that's when I went there. At first I was like, all right, let's go. Let's get on I want the rankest one you have. And he just sat there and laughed at me. And he goes, you don't know what you're doing. I said, yeah, but I've watched JB Mooney. I've watched Sage Kimsey. All these guys ride bulls. So I think I can do it. Like when you watch them, they make it look easy. Like it's it's just crazy how the difference is. And then you find technique. What works for you? There's two types of ropes. Do you like a Brazilian rope or do you like an American rope? And personally, I like the American rope. And it's just, I feel a lot better on the American rope. And so I ride with an American rope.
What's the difference between the two?
It's the handle, the grip on it. The American, the riser, I call it the riser, is different. On the Brazilian, it's 3 inches compared to 2 inches on the American. So I like to feel like, I like to be closer down, up close on personal, on this bull. So, you know, I like to feel like I want him to sniff me and know him. I'm on him and feel me. So I like my American rope.
Gotcha. And then what else besides like the techniques? I mean, there's different techniques and there's also different ways that they score you off of those techniques also. What is like, how are you going to get more points even if you hold on for 8 seconds?
So how the scoring goes is 50 to the rider, 50 to the bull. So for the bull, you how he kicks, spins, gets crazy. And the more crazy he is, the more he jumps up in the air and you're holding on, then great. For the rider, it's how you handle him, how you're into him. Are you hanging off the side of him? Are you barely hanging on? Your 8 seconds, are you controlling him? And if you're controlling him and he's crazy, you're going to get a really high score. And that's what we try to do, is we're trying to control. You just want control. And feel how, you know, it's just different because when, you know, you talk to the stock contractor and you ask him, or you're like, hey, he's going to go, he goes left. And you're thinking, is this stock contractor really telling me the truth? Or is, you know, and then and it's funny because once we get into the rodeo, you draw your bull, and then you start, it's like networking. You start pulling film from other guys and you're starting to ask him, hey, how was he? Was he crazy or was he good? You know, what was his strength? So it's pretty much like scouting out for this bull. And then that bull, you might do all the scouting. I do all the scouting for this bull, and he might not even do what I was preparing for. He might do something totally different that I wasn't expecting. So I got to be thinking ahead of him. What is he going to do? You know, is he going to go left? And if he goes left, then I need to throw my hips to the left. Or is he going to, if he jumps, I need to throw my hips up. And so you're trying to be one step ahead of him. But I've always sometimes been one head step of him, and he's done the opposite. And then I get tossed to the side, and I'm like, that's what I was expecting, but he went to the other side. So they're always thinking too.
Right.
The bulls are always thinking, you know, right when they get into that chute, they know they have a job. Mm-hmm. And that's the crazy thing is these bulls, you know, when you get on them, you throw your rope on them, and, you know, he's just chilling there. Like, he's like a docile animal. He's just waiting for that gate to open because he knows he has a job. He knows his owner, the stock contractor, feeds him. So he's got to make him money. So he's, you know, so that stock contractor's hoping my bull does good and throws that rider off. So that's how he gets most of his money. And so I really go the philosophy, do I really believe the contractor? Is he going to be honest with me?
Right.
But I'm going to believe what my traveling partners are going to say, because, you know, you always say, you know, once everyone's winning in your vehicle, that's good times. Everyone's making money. Everyone's happy. And you always, when you ride with good riders, everyone, you want to be with them. You want to compete. You want to be up with them. And so everyone's making money. Everyone's happy. So that's all. Our goal is to just bring money back to the vehicle. That's how we go into it, is, all right, this keeps us rolling. We got to keep money flowing so we can all stay on the road, because slowly, when people aren't making money, people are starting to leave because they got to get back home because they can't pay their entry fees. or gas, you know, because all we do is someone will fill it up, and then our next stop to their next gas station or to the next rodeo, if it's not that far, we'll pay for gas. So there's usually like four of us in a vehicle. So there's a lot of night driving. You're doing a lot of sleeping in cars and your truck. Like I did a lot of that this year. But and then I got down to I don't know where I was at, but I got there early before anyone was there, and I rolled up to the rodeos, and the gates were closed. So I called the president and I said, "Hey, can you come down here and open this?" And he goes, "Yeah, sure." So he came down about 3 o'clock in the morning, probably thinking, "What the hell? There must be someone there." Thinking it was probably like a calf roper, someone with the trailer. Nope, it was me. And he says, "What are you doing here so early?" I was like, "I just got to get to the next one." And he goes, "Oh, okay, you're just going to sleep in your truck?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to sleep in my truck." Well, they left the flank room open. So I was like, "I'm not sleeping in my truck tonight. I've slept in my truck for a couple weeks now. I'm not going to do it." So I said, I'm going to see if the flank room's open." Well, it was open. So I laid out all the flanks on a pallet and put two pallets together and put them all together and put my sleeping bag, and they had morning slack, and I didn't know they had morning slack because I was just there early. And some guy opens up and he goes, "Hey, can I have one of those flanks?" And I was like, "Whoa, yeah, sorry about that." And I went back to my truck and, you know, slept in my truck for the rest of the day because you have a night performance, so you're just waiting all day. That's the bad thing about it, is you're waiting all day. And a lot of guys say, "Well, I'll just travel. I'll just stay the night at this rodeo and then just travel all day." But I don't really want to feel that way, because, like, I feel like if I get there, I know I'm there. I can get my mindset. I can go get something to eat. Or we'll sometimes, if they're, you know, we'll go play golf. Just do something during the day, hang out, go around town, see what's going on. So you're just doing that. But it's mostly you're just trying to think, how can I prepare for myself? And then right when the crowd gets going, when a lot of people, my favorite is when people are starting to roll through with the trailers. And then, you know, you have your group of guys that are traveling with different people. So people are getting in and out with who, you know, you're just getting in with trying to get to the next one. You're just connections. And that's the best thing, is connections. And that's what made it a lot easier. It's just for me, is to have someone, because I was kind of like an outcast, because I was just getting my feet wet. And luckily my, you know, kid from Chalice, you know, picked me up and said, "Just come with me. You're my little driver." I was like, "No, I'm going to do this." So I did a lot of driving this year, and that's the rookie thing, is you have to do all the driving, because once you get your pro card, it's kind of a status. So I was the rookie, so I drove lots and lots, and it was awesome. I saw lots of sunsets, sunrises, lots of beautiful sunrises. That was the best.
Yeah. Lots of country you guys went around on.
Oh, yes. Lots and lots of country, and I was just thinking, This is odd. Like, this is everyone's dream, to just travel for work. And people would die for this. And, you know, and I'm really lucky I get to do that for my living. And that's just awesome.
That's cool. Well, Rue, as we wrap up, like, where's your next rodeo? How can people follow you if they're at rodeos, keep a hold of you or watch you? What does that look like?
So I am going to go into the new year. I'm going back out to Pennsylvania. They asked me to come out to their circuit finals. So I'm going out there in January. It's still up in the air if I'm going to go out there. It's a long drive, but it's either, do I fly or drive, or is it really worth it? Cause right now I want to be, you know, with my son as much as possible when he's growing up. So, but rodeo season really hits probably in the springtime, March, April. That's when everyone starts waking up. But 4th of July, you make your runs. So summertime, I really heard it, run it, you know. But I'm on Instagram at Rue4. That's where I post all my rides and stuff like that. And Facebook, if anyone wants to reach out for sponsorship, Zach Rue. And if sponsorship, you know, I'm always open for anything. I'm open to help the locals out and give, you know, help the locals and get their names out there so they can be big. That's my biggest thing is help the locals.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it in coming on and just being vulnerable with your story. Is there anything before we part that you want to finish saying or that you thought you would say and you haven't yet?
Not much. Just cowboy up.
Awesome. Well, thank you, listeners, for coming back for another week and listening with Rue. I just want to remind you to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. That would help me greatly. And then head over to my website as well, rawthoughtspodcast.com. You can see all of our guests on there. You can get all of their Instagram, all of their information, as well as send me a message if you're looking to be a guest on here. If you just have some intake or feedback that you have on the podcast, or if you would also like to sponsor my podcast, as we are talking about sponsors, those are getting opened up. So I appreciate everybody and all of their support. And I will see you next week for another episode. Bye, guys. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.